Bibles tonight, if you would, please, to the book of James, New Testament book of James, chapter 1. We'll begin reading at verse 5, and you can follow in your Bible if you would like to. James chapter 1, beginning our reading tonight at verse 5. The Bible says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for loving us the way you do, as unlovely as we can be sometimes. We thank you for blessing us, Father, as greatly as you do, seeing that we're so undeserving. And Father, we just thank you for taking us in by grace into your family, making us your very children when we place our faith in Jesus Christ. So we pray tonight that as we meet in this place that you've so generously given to us, and that you so graciously allow us to keep and to meet in, Father, you would open our hearts by your Holy Spirit to your truth. You'd open the lips of your servant to speak, that you might guide and direct, and you might do that which is pleasing in your sight. Accomplish that which is your will in our hearts and our minds, so that you can accomplish your will in our lives. And Father, we might learn, we might be reminded, you might be glorified. We'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. We have heard, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. We have discovered that it is better than gold and better than rubies and better than weapons. We have learned that the wisdom from above comes from God. And we have been informed that God lays up wisdom for the righteous. Therefore, wisdom is available. And it comes from God, and it is found in His Word. Now we have come to the penmanship of James, and we find that we need to ask for wisdom. He says right here, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. I would like to ask you tonight, how often do you ask God for wisdom? How often do you specifically say, "Lord, give me wisdom about this or that. Give me wisdom in this or in that. Give me wisdom for the decisions I have to make." How often? Well, it should be always. Shouldn't we be asking God for wisdom always for everything? But we don't. This asking is not a once and for all thing. You just don't say to God, "All right, Lord, I'd like to have wisdom," and then He gives you all the wisdom you need for the rest of your life, and then you'll never have to ask again. And you'll notice that in this asking, there are conditions. Every time you'll find in the Bible when God is going to, when He tells you to ask Him for something, there are conditions. Even the asking in prayer, there are prayer conditions. And there are conditions for asking for wisdom. And over the last few weeks, we've been looking at some of those conditions. And the ones we find here in James is this. First of all, we have to ask. Secondly, we have to ask in faith. We must believe God's offer and believe God's promise. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." So if we're going to go to God and we're going to ask for wisdom, then we should have the faith that He's going to give us wisdom. That He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. What am I seeking Him for? I'm seeking Him for wisdom. What will He reward me with? He'll reward me with wisdom. But I have to have faith. I have to really believe He's going to do it. The second thing is it has to be unwavering. We have to be unwavering. He said, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering." That means without doubting. Without going back and forth concerning your belief that God will answer your prayer for wisdom. In other words, you don't go and say, Lord, I need wisdom for this situation. I need wisdom for this decision. And then you leave and say, I wonder if God's going to give it to me. Maybe He won't give it. And then you don't know if you have wisdom or not. I wonder if this is... And you keep going back and forth and back and forth. People do that with salvation. They believe the promise. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. They believe what the Bible says, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then they trust Christ as their Savior, and for a moment or for a little while, they know they're saved, they believe they're saved, and then those doubts start coming in, don't they? God says the same thing happens with wisdom. He said you can't be asking for wisdom and then doubting that God's given you wisdom. Such persons show themselves to be unstable, unreliable, and undependable. Such a person will prove indecisive in the heat of battle, and doubts will cause him or her to be unsure. So we ask for wisdom, and then we're afraid to go forward. We ask for wisdom, then we're afraid to make a decision. We ask for wisdom, and we're afraid to give counsel. Why? Because we're wavering. We've asked for the wisdom, but we don't know if God gave me any wisdom. We don't know if God will give me the wisdom. You understand? And so you want wisdom. That's great. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. But before you ask for it, you need to know three more things about wisdom. Number one, wisdom and the Word. True wisdom does not exist apart from the Spirit of God and the Word of God. If you want to be a man or a woman of wisdom, you must be a man or a woman of the Word. Wisdom comes from reading the Bible, memorizing the Bible, hearing the Bible, living the Bible, and sharing the Bible. That's where wisdom comes from. Without a knowledge of the Word of God, you cannot expect to have God's wisdom. How do you expect to have God's wisdom? You're going to say, Lord, would you give me wisdom? And He's going to say, well, have you read the Word? Well, no, I don't want to have to read the Word. I just want wisdom. I don't want to have to go to school. I just want a degree. Huh? I don't want to have to take the test. I just want an A. God says, no. He said, if you want wisdom, go to the place where there is wisdom. Right? Go to the Bible. Bible is wisdom from cover to cover. Without a knowledge of the Word of God, you cannot expect to have God's wisdom. Now, we have seen in a previous message that Christ is wisdom, or should I say, wisdom is Christ. Christ also is the Word, according to John chapter 1. So if Christ is wisdom, and Christ is the Word, then the Word is wisdom. Follow that reasoning? If Christ is wisdom, and Christ is the Word, then the Word has to be wisdom. And the Spirit of God relates to the wisdom of God, or is associated with the wisdom of God at least 9 times. In the Bible. The wisdom of Christ is mentioned with the Word in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. So what's dwelling in me? What gives me wisdom if it's dwelling in me? The Word. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. So the more of the Word of God that I have in me, the more wisdom I possess. The more I have memorized, the more wisdom's available. The more I read it, David said, Thy Word have I hid where? In my heart. So if we take the Word of God and we're reading it and we're tucking it away in our minds and in our hearts, we have more wisdom available to us. Everywhere in the Bible, wisdom and the Word of God go hand in hand. Deuteronomy 4:6. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Now, why were the nations looking at Israel and saying they were a wise and understanding people? Because of the statutes. What were the statutes? The statutes were the Word of God. So Israel had something that the rest of the world didn't have. Israel had the Word of God. And the Bible is telling us here that the world looked over at Israel and said they're a wise and understanding people because they have these statutes. They've got laws we've never heard about. They've got wisdom we don't know about. They've got statutes from God. Ezra 7:25 says, and thou, Ezra, after the wisdom of thy God that is in thine hand, set magistrates and judges which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, all such as know the laws of thy God, and teach them that know them not. So he was saying to Ezra, it's time for you to set up some magistrates, some leaders, some governors, some political appointees who are going to judge my people. And he said, the ones I want you to set are the ones that know the laws of thy God. Ezra, after the wisdom of thy God, set up people who know the Word of God. In Psalm 111, verse 10, very familiar verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. And so where does this understanding and wisdom come from? It comes from the commandments. The Word of God. But the opposite is true. Without the Word of God, there is no true wisdom. Jeremiah 8:9 says this, the wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? In other words, God's saying, if they reject my word, then what kind of wisdom can they have? If they don't even have enough wisdom to respect my word, they don't even have enough wisdom to accept the word of God, what kind of wisdom can be in them? What wisdom is left for those who reject the word of God? Only man's wisdom and only earthly wisdom. Now, man's wisdom and earthly wisdom can give you the tools to gain the world, but they cannot give you the wisdom to save your soul. That's why the Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So if we have the wisdom, without the word of God, we have the wisdom of men, we have the wisdom of the world, and we can gain the world, but they have no wisdom for us to the saving of our soul. All the religions of the world are works religions. You have to do something. You have to be somebody. You have to pay some price. You have to do some deed. But the wisdom of God is that salvation is a gift to be received by faith. In order to receive the wisdom from above, one must respect and receive the Word of God. If you want wisdom and you ask it of God, it's not just going to pop into your brain. It's not just going to happen. It'll come by the Word of God. It's like students that ask, Pastor, would you pray that I get a good grade on my test? No. Did you study? What do you think? You think you don't have to study and you're just going to go take your test and you're going to pray and say, God, give me all the answers to the test. He's just going to pop them in your brain? No. You got to study, right? The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God says, study the word, you'll get wisdom. You study your subject and then you put in your time, you've studied it, and you go to take a test. Now you can ask God, would you help me to recall that which I have studied? You get in the Word of God and you read it and you memorize it and you come and you hear it preached. And then when you need wisdom, you can go to God and say, God, give me wisdom from that which I've put in. Help me to take advantage of that wisdom. Bring to my mind the wisdom that we've put in through the Word. God will reveal the wisdom of His Word by His Spirit to your heart and to your mind. It's like looking for something in a dark room. Have you ever been in a dark room and the only way you can find it, and you're feeling around for it and you can't find it and you're stumbling and you're bumping into stuff and the very thing you're looking for, you bump it and it falls on the floor and now it's even worse to find it? But if somebody comes in and they turn the light on, you go, oh, there it is. That's how it is with the wisdom of God and the Word of God. When you are in the Word of God and you're reading the Word of God and you're asking God, now I want to get wisdom out of your Word. Give me some wisdom from your Word. When you're reading it, it's like the Holy Spirit of God illuminates it. He shines a light in it and you see stuff and you understand stuff. Doesn't that happen for you? That's not because you're so smart. It's not because I'm so brilliant, although I am brilliant. It's because the Holy Spirit of God, who wrote the Word of God, opens its meaning to you to give you the wisdom that you've asked for. So when you read the Bible, what do you need to do? You need to believe there's wisdom there. When you read the Bible, what do you got to do? You got to believe that God will open it up to you and give you some wisdom out of it. Number two is this. You have wisdom in the Word, but then you have wisdom in the work. God does not grant wisdom just for wisdom's sake. God doesn't give you wisdom just so you can be wise. And so everybody will think, whoa, look how wise she is. He grants wisdom for His Word's sake. But He grants wisdom for His work's sake. Those who are said to have the wisdom of God in the Bible all performed works that were the result of the wisdom that they were given. Exodus 28:3. Thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments. So they had this wisdom, right? God had given them wisdom. For what? To make Aaron's garments. Exodus 31:3. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. So God said, I've given these people wisdom for workmanship. I've given wisdom so they can make garments. Exodus 35:26. And all the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. They weren't just a bunch of wise women sitting around saying, oh, we're wise. Let's talk about wise stuff. No, they were wise and their wisdom was used to spin goat's hair, to make things for the temple of God. Exodus 36:2. And Moses called Bezaleel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. So God said, I put wisdom in all these people's hearts. Why? So you can all but just be a bunch of wise guys? No, I put wisdom in their hearts so they can come and do the work. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 6, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What convinced the nations of the wisdom and understanding of the people of God? That they did the statutes. That's what convinced them. Listen to what it says. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom. You know what wisdom is? Doing the Word of God. And you know, when you do the Word of God, you end up doing the work of God. That's wisdom. If God gives you His wisdom, you'll do something with the wisdom that He's given you. Oh, I know all these, you might say, I know all this stuff about the Bible. Oh, I've studied all this stuff about the Bible. Oh, I know all, what are you doing with it? What work is it producing in your life? What are you doing with that wisdom? You like to have wisdom just to have wisdom? God said, I gave wisdom to have stuff get done. The doing of the word of the Lord is what told the nations and convinced the nations around Israel that they were wise. Go to James chapter 1. We should be there. James chapter 1. That's where we started. James chapter 1. Look at verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So how do we get wisdom? We get wisdom from hearing the word of God. He said, now, what are you supposed to do after you hear the word of God? You're supposed to do it. And if you don't do it, what are you? You're deceived. In other words, you're a person sitting around saying, hey, I know lots of Bible. Hey, I got lots of wisdom from the Bible. But you ain't doing nothing with it, so you're deceived. You think you have wisdom, but if you really had wisdom, you'd be doing something. Right? Let's keep on reading. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. That's verse 23. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, the word of God, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The Bible says if you are getting filled up with the word, and you're not doing what the word tells you to do, you're like a man. What's the purpose of looking into the mirror? The purpose of looking into the mirror is to do something, right? If you're not going to do anything, well, I know, you're so awesome, you don't have to do anything. You just like to look in and see how awesome you are, right? Well, most people look into the mirror to see what they need to fix, right? Oh, I got to comb my hair. Oh, I got dirt on my face. Oh, I need to shave. Oh, I need to do whatever. So if you're like, and he's saying, here's a guy, goes up to the mirror, he looks in the mirror, he sees all these things that need to be fixed, but he doesn't fix any of them. He just walks away the same way he was before he looked in the mirror. He said, that's how it is if you're reading the Word of God and memorizing the Word of God and hearing the Word of God, but you're not doing the Word of God. But he said, if you will hear the Word of God and be a doer of the what? What's it say? A doer of the work. What work? The work the mirror told you to do. What did the mirror tell you to do? Oh, I got to shave. Now I got to do the work. I don't like shaving, to tell you the truth. But I got to do it. Why? You know why? Because the mirror tells me you got little stubs all over your face. Why don't you shave them off? And wouldn't it be nice if you just got up and you didn't have to brush your teeth? You didn't have to shave. You didn't have to comb your hair. Wouldn't that be great? That's what it'll be like in heaven. But until then, we have to be doers of the work that it takes to keep us half presentable. Same thing with the Bible. We look into the Bible, and the Bible, if we get Bible wisdom, the Bible wisdom is going to be saying, do this, do that, do this, do that, don't do that. But do this. And if we don't, then we're like the guy that needed to shave, didn't shave. We're like the guy who had spaghetti on his face and didn't wipe it off. The wisdom of God is given to do the work of God. A man or woman who is not involved in the work of the Lord and believes themselves to be wise with wisdom from above is mistaken. The truly wise see and understand that there is nothing more important and nothing more eternally profitable and earthly blessed than the work of God wrought through the local church, which is God's ordained institution. That's wisdom right there. There's wisdom. If you don't understand that, then you don't have that wisdom. And you know what? If you don't agree with it, you don't have the wisdom. Because that was just wisdom of God. So we have the wisdom in the Word. You can't have wisdom without the Word. And if you have the wisdom of the Word, you'll be doing the work. Because wisdom is linked with work. Number three, wisdom and the woe. The W-O-E, the woe. Yes, there are some woes associated with wisdom. The first one is found in Ecclesiastes 1:18. Listen to what Solomon, the wisest man that ever walked the earth besides Jesus, listen to what he said. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. So you might say, well, okay, if with wisdom comes grief, I don't want no wisdom. No, there's even more wisdom. There's even more grief without wisdom. Okay? With wisdom comes a clearer understanding, what Solomon is saying, of the futility of life without Christ. With wisdom comes a deeper understanding of how things ought to be and how far they're not what they ought to be. See? With wisdom comes a greater responsibility. But the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. But the same thing is true of riches, right? The Bible tells us that to whom much is given, much shall be required. So the more riches you have, the more responsibility you have before God to use those riches properly and decently and for His glory and for His work. All of you don't say, well, then I don't want to get rich. Oh, no, you'd all like to be rich. Maybe you don't want to be a billionaire, but you'd like to be richer than you are. You say, well, the Bible also tells us that when we increase riches, there's also increased temptations. But we still want to be rich. So when the Bible says with wisdom comes grief, don't get discouraged. You should still want wisdom. But you have to be responsible with it. The second one is in Isaiah chapter 47, verse 10. The Bible says, for thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. Now what's happening is here is this statement by Isaiah is against Babylon. Babylon, because of its wisdom and knowledge, began to credit itself for all of its greatness and began to think that there was none like it in wisdom, knowledge, and power, even going so far as to saying, I am. And there is none else. There's only one being who gets to say, I am, and there is none else. Who said that? God said that. He said, beside me there is none else. So what happened? Babylon, because of its glory, because of its earthly wisdom, because of all its achievements and its knowledge, it perverted its heart into thinking it was godlike. Babylon represents the world system, always in the scripture. The world owns no God because it has made itself a God in its own heart and mind. If a person's not careful, their wisdom can become a source of pride. And once that happens, the very wisdom that was a blessing becomes a curse and perverts the heart. This can happen to individuals, just like it happened to Babylon, if we're not careful. There was one individual in which it actually happened. And it's recorded in the Bible. Go with me to Ezekiel. Find the book of Ezekiel. Find chapter 28. And here was an individual. We saw that Babylon as a nation was lifted up with pride and said, I am, and there's none else. Here's an individual. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabret and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in you. Now, what did Babylon represent? Babylon represented the world. It represents the world in the Bible. A system without God that thinks it's so wise and thinks it's so knowledgeable. In reality, it's nothing. Tyrus here represents an individual, and the individual that Tyrus is representing, just like Babylon represented the world, the king of Tyrus is representing Lucifer or Satan or the devil. And we know that that's the case because he's the only one that could fit these qualifications that are in here, that he was in the Garden of Eden, that he was on the mountain of God, you see. I found something interesting, I think, in verse 13 toward the end there. It says, the workmanship of thy tabrets. Now, if you look at the word tabrets, that means tambourine. And of thy pipes was prepared in thee. Now, I like to think this. Now, this is my theory. I believe when God created Lucifer, he created him with the ability to make music right from his own body. Now, we're going to read a little bit later, Lucifer falls, right? So what happened to music when Lucifer fell? It became corrupted. He says in verse 16, by the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee before kings that they may behold thee. So God's saying to Lucifer, he's saying, the very beauty that I gave you and the very wisdom that I gave you, you became proud of it as if it was yours, as if you could credit yourself with your beauty and you could credit yourself with your wisdom, and you became so proud, and now you want to... What did he say? He said, I will be like the Most High. So his beauty and his wisdom corrupted his heart. And the same thing can happen to us as believers. We're not careful. We can look at the blessings that God gives us and the abilities that God gives us and the gifts that God gives us and the wisdom that God gives us. If we're not careful, we get proud of it and we give ourselves credit for things we shouldn't give ourselves credit for. And pretty soon our hearts, we allow our blessings and our wisdom that comes from God to pervert our hearts into thinking we had something to do with it. Wisdom can become a woe when we mistakenly think that we have earned wisdom or deserve wisdom or somehow acquired it of our own strength. Wisdom can become a woe when we believe that it has been given to us for us. But God doesn't give you wisdom for you. Now, you get to use it. We looked at benefits of it. You get to have the benefits of it. But he didn't give you your wisdom just for you. It's been given to you for others and for his glory. Listen to what Daniel said in Daniel chapter 2, verse 30. He said this, "But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me or any wisdom that I have more than any living." So Daniel's saying, wait a minute. You know, I'm not like this fountain of wisdom. It's not because of me. This isn't my wisdom. And then he said this, "But for their sakes, that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest knoweth the thoughts of thy heart." So Daniel's saying, this wisdom isn't given just for me, for my sake. It's given for your sake, king. It was given to me for the other fellows so I can interpret their dreams so that they could end up coming before you, dear king, and telling you there's a guy in the prison that could interpret your dream. And I'm just having this wisdom for them, and I have this wisdom for you. You see? God gives us wisdom for his work. God gives us wisdom for others. The truly wise do not declare their wisdom, nor do they think of it as of themselves. As a matter of fact, the truly wise do not walk around thinking they're truly wise. They just are. And God opens that wisdom to them when others need it. And God opens that wisdom to them when they need it. But they don't walk around saying, "Wow, I'm so glad I'm so wise." The truly wise have the heart of Daniel, which is a heart of humility and thanksgiving. So if you want wisdom, ask of God. But remember, it will come only as you ask in faith, nothing wavering. Remember, the wisdom will come by God's word. It will be for his work. And it could become a woe if you get lifted up with pride for having it. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. In my lifetime as a pastor, I've known people, individuals, who had very little education, but had great wisdom. Because wisdom isn't a product of education. Knowledge is, but not wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. Wisdom comes from God's word. And if you need knowledge, go to school. But if you need wisdom, ask of God. But believe with faith that he can give you wisdom and will give you wisdom. Dear Christian, the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. I hope you've gotten some understanding to go along with the wisdom that you ask for. And if you're here tonight or you're watching or you're listening, here's wisdom. This is the wisdom of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus had this wisdom. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, which are born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. The wisdom of God is that salvation is a free gift purchased by Jesus Christ with his own life and his own blood, secured by his resurrection, and offered by his grace. To be received by faith. Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you for the wisdom of God. We thank you that we don't find the wisdom of God in the university. We find it in the Word. It's not given by professors. It's given by the Spirit of God. It's not for building empires. It's for the work of the ministry. And Father, if we want to gain the world, then we're going to need the wisdom of the world. But if we want to have peace with God and salvation, we need to have the wisdom of God. I pray you'd bless us, help us understand these things, help us to apply them in our lives so that we might have the wisdom of God to do the work of God, and we might have the right spirit about it. We ask your blessing. We give you all the glory for the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing our closing hymn, 666. And as we sing this closing hymn, maybe you'd like to come and talk to the Lord. Maybe it's about wisdom. Maybe it's about something else. But whatever it is, God's moved your heart to come and talk to him. Why don't you do that? There's something you need to ask. There's something you need to talk to him about. Decisions need to be made. Changes need to take place. I don't know what it is, but God does. Why don't you come, spend some time with him. And if you have any questions about going to heaven, we'd like to help you with it. You come and talk to me. And we'll be glad to have someone sit with you and show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. All right? You come as we sing on the first.